Let us begin this service by singing 371. Behold how pleasant and how good that we one Lord confessing, together dwell in brotherhood, our unity expressing. And what follows number 371. We shall now read to you from God's holy word, the Epistle of John, the 20th chapter, the first part. The first reading of our confession, Article 1. We all believe with the heart and confess with the mouth that there is one only simple and spiritual being, which we call God, and that He is eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, immutable, infinite, almighty, perfectly wise, just, good, and overflowing fountain of all good. The first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and sees a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and sees the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She says unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, says unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus, our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is in thy condescending mercy that we are privileged for the third time in this Sabbath day to enter into thy courts, to call upon thy name, and to hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church, that it may please thee to make us receptive by that blessed Spirit, to open our hearts and our understanding, and made in this evening thy word fruitful to our souls, that it may be to our eternal welfare. Thou speakest and it is, thou commandest and it stands firm. There is nothing too wonderful for thee, and what impossible is with men, that is possible with thee. O, have mercy unto us and our children, and may thy word powerful and precious to our heart, that it may be to true conversion of the unconverted, uncover thy almighty power, and that this evening for this one and that one was unforgettable, that thy name may be glorified, Christ may be exalted, and receive all the honor, praise, and glory, as that only Savior and Mediator, that only foundation of our eternal salvation. Have mercy with thy children also amongst us. Thou knowest, Lord, what kind of people they are. They can never help themselves, They cannot apply the truth to their hearts. They have no hands to accept it, no arms to embrace it for himself. But Lord, that the blessed Spirit comes in their heart, that all the power of Satan in this evening may be ashamed, that they receive an undeserved blessing for their own heart and soul, and that the outgoing of this Sabbath day may be to thy honor and glory and to our eternal welfare and salvation. Strengthen all thy servants everywhere over the length and breadth of the earth. Increase their number and help also us in this evening, that that blessed Spirit leads and guides us into all the truth, and that we experience thy nearness and thy preciousness in our own heart, where we are ministering unto others, that the Lord also minister us, and that we receive the fruit of our labors for our own heart and soul. It is not that we are worthy the least of thy blessings, because we have forfeited everything, but view us again in thy beloved Son, whom thou well pleased. All the sick and afflicted, we commend them at thy throne of grace. Remember also that father who has to go to the hospital tomorrow to undergo an operation. Be with him in all his troubles, and at all those ways where there is laid so much already upon their shoulders, in the taking away of several of the dear children. Oh, if it can be in thy counsel, spare him for his wife and children, and that all the means and all the trials were applied to his heart, and that his life may be prolonged for some while. 'Tis all in thy hand. Those parents who hope to celebrate this week that they are for 40 years bound by the bond of matrimony together, give also them an heart to acknowledge thee for all the blessing bestowed upon, and made it further well for soul and body, for time and for eternity. All the widows and orphans and widows, our boys where they are in this world, give them desire also in this day to search thy word and testimony, and be with us together in all the needs and wants, with the taking away and pardoning of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 400, and we start with the second stanza, number 400. Your offering will now be taken first for the church and afterwards for our school. Put no confidence in princes, nor for help on men depend. He shall die, to dust returning, and his purposes shall end. Number 400, and we start with the second stanza.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, David, he said in Psalm 119, the opening of thy words gives light. And indeed, there is no book in the whole world so wonderful as the Word of God and the revelation of the Lord given us in His eternal testimony uncovers unto us all the time such mysteries and things that we are astonished of it, and that we have to confess for ourselves that we never for ourselves have that insight in those mysteries as that the Lord has given unto us at that time, that it has pleased Him to reveal it unto us. It is today not Easter that is past, but the Word of God is always new. And I found something in the Bible very remarkable in regard to the resurrection of Christ. And I hope that I can explain that to you in this evening with the enlightening from above. My text for this evening is in the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, the first verse, only these words, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, thus far. I have in my text for this evening an opportunity to speak to you first of God's restraining grace. In the second place, His drawing power, and in the third place, His abundant grace. My text for this evening is one that we read time and again when we read the history of the resurrection of Christ, but it slipped most of the time our mind. And really, it is so necessary that the Lord Himself it explained to us. That is also one of the reasons that the Bible and what the Lord has revealed in His Word, that it always is new. Especially when you have to preach time and again, year after year, about these certain events, and then of course, no wonder that they say to you inwardly, where shall you find a new text? And you have, of course, to bring out every time the same things. But that is not necessary. No. When the Lord gives us some insight in His Word, then we come to the conclusion that the light from above, that it is an infinite light, and that it never comes to an end. Some of our commentators, even Orthodox people, I have searched them and investigated, but several of them, they think about these words, that means only that Jan was younger than Peter, and that Peter was came to such an age that he could not run so quick as that Jan could do. That is also natural. If we become older, then we cannot go so fast. It is necessary, of course, that we not so be in the hurry. And we observe that for ourselves, that we cannot do the same things later on as that we have done before. But I think if I have to stay in this evening only by this, that Peter was older than Jan, and that was the reason that Peter goes not so fast, I think that my sermon was very empty. But there is well another meaning. Really another meaning why that Peter was not so running so fast. In the new Bible, the new translation that there is here in this country, I look them also up, and that text said that John was ahead of Peter. Same meaning, of course, in that respect. But here it said, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. But I think that Peter, he could not run so fast. That man that have something upon his shoulders, an awful load. I hope to explain that to you a little in this evening. And for that reason, my first point, that was restraining grace. Mary Magdalene, that was the first, that was the woman who was the first on Sunday morning by the sepulcher. It was said, John in his gospel, it was yet dark. She was with the other women resting on the Sabbath day, because it was forbidden to do any work then. And as a converted woman, she had respect for the Sabbath day, and she obeyed the Sabbath day, because that is in the heart of all God's people. As soon as the Lord converts a sinner, then we have love for the Lord, for His name, for His day, and for His ordinances. Clear enough. So it was also with Mary Magdalene, but it was hard for her to stay home. There was a burning desire in her heart to pay the last respects to Christ, because she thought nothing about the resurrection. That was, of course, also for her totally hidden and concealed. If we look into that with our natural mind, Then we would say, how is it possible that there could be such a woman as she was? She was a woman very blessed by the Lord. The Lord has delivered that woman from seven devils. Seven. That means she lays entirely in the power of the devil, both for soul and for body. And now she was, in Luke 8, you read the history of it, she was delivered from death. And now she paid the gratitude to Christ in that manner that she always was following him. There was no one in the world who had such a great place in their heart and in their soul than the Lord Jesus Christ. I have in this evening full freedom and liberty to say that Christ was everything for that woman, and that the whole world, with all that was in it, that man meant to that woman nothing. Really, that meant nothing to that woman. Christ had taken in her heart the chiefest and the highest and the important place. And that was now the reason that that woman, also on Sunday morning, while it was dark, that she went to the sepulchre. She was there when Christ was buried, and now she would also there before the last moment, as she would go there also with spices, as also those other women. And what then would happen afterwards, she don't know it. But she had one desire, only to stay there by the sepulchre. And then, even when she had to stay there by a person who was dead, but that it was given to her to look unto him, that it was enough, and that would relieve all the sorrow and all that grief that was in her heart. You can believe it. But now, when she came to the cemetery and to that sepulchre, then of course she was so astonished. She saw that a stone that was rolled away from that sepulchre. And then all there came immediately the thought up in her heart that the enemies, that they had taken away that dead body and maybe brought to some other place. She came not into that sepulchre, no. She was so confused at the present time that she was running from that sepulchre, and as she went to, she went to Simon Peter and to John. To Simon Peter? Was that the one that she came to? Simon Peter? That same one that had denied Christ three times? Did he still belong to the church? Was he not cut off? Oh, you would say, if now that Mary Magdalene had thought about what had happened, that she never had came in connection with that Simon Peter. No, but restraining grace, people, restraining grace. The Lord had not forsaken Mary Magdalene, and he had not forsaken Peter of John, of any of his disciples. No. And it is well remarkable that even after the death of Christ, that people that came closer and closer to one another. Yes, but there had happened so much in their life in those last days. Oh, they have in those 3 days learned so much what man is, and so much knowledge of themselves received from the Lord, that it was for all of them a great wonder that they were not consumed by God's wrath. And as say, even Simon Peter, he was there together with John. All that type people that the Lord had laid once between him and his children, and between his children together, all the devils of hell and all the power of sin shall never break it. That is really impossible. The Lord, he never gives his people over to themselves. No. And also that people in those, under those circumstances, they cannot forsake one another. No. Oh, I have always in my mind the thought that all those other ones, that they now were jealous to the Peter. Jealous. Not jealous unto his sin that he has done. No. Because we never can ever be jealous to any sin omitted and performed by God's people. Never and ever. But as soon as Peter had denied Christ, then he went out and he wept bitterly. And what is that now? A wonderful thing for God's people, that the Lord gave him grace to confess their guilt and sin with their whole heart and soul. And really you can well be jealous to that people, because that is something we cannot give ourselves one tear, people. Not one tear. If you have all the money of the whole world together, there is no store that can sell you tears. No. That is a gift that the Lord only can give to his people. And all that happened is once, twice, sometime in our life that we can cry over our sins. Really? God's people, there are people in the church that never can come back in their later life to places where they were before. No. They have had a desire in their heart, and they say many times, Lord, please, please, bring me back if it can be in thy counsel to those places that I lay as before you, as that I have done, that the pillow was wet of my tears, and that I have so much sorrow in my heart. Oh, I tell you, sometime later on, people, if there is sometime that there is one tear that comes out of our eyes, confessing our sins and that we have ungodly sorrow again in our heart, oh, then we appreciate it more as pails of tears that we have before in our life. Such a wonder is it. And it was no wonder in that respect that now Mary Magdalene, that she went to Simon Peter and also to John. That tie that there once was laid between them, that was not broken. And it was impossible that any power of hell and of sin could break it. No. They never have changed in that respect their life. No. And then immediately that Simon Peter and also John, we read in the Bible that they went forth and had other disciples, and that they came to the sepulchre, and that was now God's strong love that the people not stay in Rome.
You read in the Bible van Thomas that the first Sunday of the resurrection, then he had no courage to go out of his house. No, that man that was in such a misery and in such a distress that he even came not to the church. Still, you can be jealous to that man too. Oh, yes. Because also for that man the time came that the Lord drew him out of his house and that he was again in the midst of the other disciples. Oh, sometimes he can be so discouraged that he would say, oh, it is better that I break with everything, that I give up everything, that I ask for my papers in the church even, because it have no profit to go longer there. The Lord, he hide himself for me, and I am sitting there every week, and it is every week nothing and nothing. It is better that I stay home. But if the true work of the Lord is in our heart, oh, then that restraining grace, the Lord reveals that in our life, that was also with his people in our text. And they went forth to the sepulchre. But then, so they ran both together, even Peter and John. John, he say not to Peter, oh, I rather have that you are staying home, because if the people on the street meet us together, what will they say then? Maybe they slander me that you are in company of me. Oh, no. Johnny have no thoughts about that at all. No. They loved one another much more as that they have loved one another before in their life. And I think John was glad that Peter was walking with him. And Peter was glad that John go with him. And that they went both to the sepulchre. Oh yes, people, God's children, they have one purpose in their life. And that is Christ. That is to seek him. Their hearts go out only to him. But then my text said, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. The other disciple did outrun Peter. At first they walked together. But the closer that they came to the cemetery, then slowly on Peter, he was behind John. And what must well the reason that Peter was not so running so hard? Oh, he had so a fear in his heart. And he had so many voices in his heart too. Oh, they say to him, oh boy, come. Oh, maybe you are standing here and not going farther. Because if Christ was alive, if he was risen out of the grave, he had looked to you and you have denied him. But then at that time he was not saying one word to you. But now you can expect, oh, even that it was not Christ, but that they sent an angel from heaven to give you a message that companionship and that union between you and Christ, that it is cut up now forever and forever. And then that message out of heaven that shall say, unfaithful servant, hypocrite, denier. Oh, you never have the privilege that the Lord shall say one word to you. Really? And what a storms and what a waves that there were in the heart of that Peter. Oh, he cannot tell it you only when we have experienced the same way. And the same things as Peter have experienced. Because if there came a time in our life, the same as with Peter, that we have sinned in public, denying the Lord of otherwise, Then we are ashamed and sin that takes always from us our freedom and our liberty. And then the devil, he comes also in between. Because first, that is always his tactic. First, that he is always busy to minimize sin to us. He was pushing Peter to deny Christ in the hall of Caiaphas. But now afterwards he said, "Oh, Peter, there is no more grace for you. You can never be converted. Christ, he had well told you that. If you shall later on converted, so strengthen your brethren. But oh no, Peter. The Lord shall never confirm and fulfill unto you what he had said. He had sorrow that he had spoken to you these words. And that was the reason, people, that Peter, that he stays behind. Oh, still, what a wonderful experience. What a wonderful life that man had. Because, what is it a blessing in our life, that sin, that it is as a heavy burden to us, people. We experience in our own life that it is impossible that we can bring ourselves into anything. No. If the principle of God's work is in our heart, then there is a continually prayer and need in our heart to humble ourselves before the Lord. It can well be so, come so far here, people. Really, that we are mad upon ourselves. And sometimes happens that, yes, that happens, that we are angry towards the Lord sometimes. That we say, "Oh Lord, you have seen me, that I lay there so many times on my knees." They can say, "The Lord is my witness." They can say that with freedom and liberty. Because they separated themselves so many times before the Lord. And they lay there in their secret places. And in their inner chambers to pour out their heart. The Lord and had no answer. And oh, if that now is for a day, people. But if that now is for weeks, and for months, and for years. For years that we have no special answer. And that it not changed inwardly. Oh, even sometimes it can be that there comes tears in our eyes. But another moment, oh, then we have to say yes. It was for some minutes. It was well softed inwardly, but there happens nothing. There happens nothing. I have not beat the Lord in my way, and it came not to any solution in my heart. And then, oh, that enmity that there is in our heart, not that we not know that we are worthy of it, no. Because they always have still that impression that they are not worthy the least of God's blessing. That impression that is there. But nevertheless, oh, sometimes, people, the world is sometimes too small for us. And then we will stop, and sometimes we think, "Oh, what profit give it to my heart to go in secluded places, to cry to the Lord. He is not hearing me, and it seems to me that he will not give any answer to me." But still, if it comes to the point, can you stop with it? Oh, I tell you, 7 o'clock sometimes, 8 o'clock. You say no, it is to an end now. So discouraged, it is to an end. And they go to their bed in the evening, and before that they are realizing, they are again talking to the Lord. And then they say, oh Lord, please, please help me in my distress. Oh Lord, answers, because I hope always that it would happen in my life, that you will humble me before your face. For that reason, there is nothing in our life that receives that becomes so valuable to us than that the Lord give us a right impression about our guilt and about our sin. Oh, in the latter part of our life, people, we have to learn many times things that we have never learned in our whole life. If they have said it to us in the time of our conversion, and that the Lord was working first in our heart, that they have said you, that shall come a time in your life that it becomes so impossible for you to bow before the Lord, that you shall have ways that you are so far from it, farther than the east from the west and the north from the south, then we would say, Lord, no. I never shall stand at it. If that have to take place in my life, really. But the times are coming and the Lord have to come back, that we also come in the same steps as here Peter, and that text said so clear, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. And I believe that young, he had not spoken to Peter one word. He had not said to Peter, oh boy, but there's a reason that you are staying behind me. You are tired? I think young he had well known it, but the cause was of it. Because you can well imagine that they know one another outwardly and inwardly. They have no riddles for one another. Then perhaps I think that's young, that he also was crying. Then Peter was walking behind. Oh yes, people. What a blessing, what a blessing. If the Lord is visit us. And we stay is behind. Oh, our nature. And that was especially by Peter. Oh, he was always in the front. Always the first one. He gave no other people time to talk. And an opportunity. If Christ sometime asked the people, the disciples, something, then before that another one has an answer, then he has his answer ready already. And then he has spoken out himself. But now that text had said, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Johnny was walking there first. And then later on, then Peter came there. Oh, he felt the greatness of his sin. He was feeling that he was unworthy. Not worthy to have the name of a child of God. Not worthy to be an apostle. He had sinned so heavy and provoked the Lord in such a way, so awful. And now he was behind John. Yes, people, you are jealous to that man in this evening. You would say, oh Lord, that I have received. Oh, then my car that is standing outside of my house where I am living in, this evening they could have it.
if I have the same privilege as you. Oh, yes, if I have no bed to sleep on this evening, and no chair to sit in, if I have to beg long head on the street tomorrow for breakfast and for a little dinner and for a little bread and lunch, oh, then I prefer it to come as behind you, that other disciple did outrun Peter. Oh, Peter, what a blessing. What a blessing that you have received from the Lord. Your heart, it is well an hard life for you. And you have oh so much strife and struggles. And I know that the devil is behind you. I know that there is so much talk here up in insight. But oh, Peter, still you are blessed. And still you are highly favored. Because Yanni came to the sepulchre, but Peter he came also by that sepulchre. And it was not only restraint and grace, it was not only drawing power, but it was also abundant love and grace that was revealed towards that Peter, as we hope to explain no further, but we sing first. Number 64, Lord, to me thy ways make known. Guide in truth and teach thou me. Thou my Savior art alone. All the day I wait for thee. Number 64, the second and the first stanza. And now that abundant love of grace that the Lord has given to that Peter, that is remarkable. Oh, inwardly, they say, stop, go no farther, because there shall well be an angel with a flaming sword to kill you. But the Lord gave him that privilege to go further. And then John, he came first to the sepulchre. But that John, he had no freedom to enter in. He was standing before that sepulchre. But Peter, oh, that man, he received more and more freedom for the Lord from the Lord. Oh, no. If you would think in this evening that he brought himself into that sepulcher, then you deceive yourself. No. But as Jan was standing there, then that Peter that went into the sepulcher. Oh, and that because you read in the Bible that they stooping down, they have to do that to enter into that sepulcher, stooping down. And for Peter that was so easy to do. The Lord had broken his heart in pieces. The Lord has broken his legs. And now he could go into that sepulcher. And there he saw the clothes of Christ. First he saw not that napkin that was the same as what we know as an handkerchief that they bound about the head of those that died. But then later on he saw that napkin in a special place. As you read in the Bible, not lying with linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Oh, and then there was a little light when he saw that people. When he saw that, those clothes laying there. No, it was impossible that the enemies, that they have taken away his body. There must be happens a great wonder. What it was, oh, they don't know. Because with all the grace, and I will emphasize that in this evening, with all that grace that they have received, they have no insight in the resurrection of Christ. There was well a little light in their heart, but there was still at that time, there was more darkness than that there was light. But you can see that the Lord, in the darkest ways of his people, that he upholds them, that he strengthens them, that he gives them not over to despair. And you know, I have explained that other years for you, those linen clothes and that napkin that refers to the sins of God's people, and that napkin to the darling sins of God's children. But Christ, he had suffered for all the sins. And now he was out of the grave. And those clothes that lay there, oh, that would never come out. The sins and our iniquities of all God's people were buried there. The sins of Peter, that he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ, it was also... There was also paid for. Oh, there is a line in one of our Holland psalms. Hier wijt mijn ziel met een verwondering oog. That our soul is looking there. And that we are astonished and admiring, wondering about the wonderful deeds of the Lord. Because what gives that man such an hope, people? What gave that Peter such an hope while he was there in that sepulcher? Oh, that he was not consumed. But I believe for myself that he had a certain peace there already in his heart when he was walking there. Oh, a certain rest in his heart. He don't know it. It was necessary that the Lord brought everything to light. But still, people, still, the Lord in his providence, he prepared his children for his appearance. And he is not an angry God toward the people. No, not an angry God. And now that was well empty, that sepulcher. But oh, still, because the Lord has wrought in the hearts of his people in the hour of regeneration, love, hope and faith. And it is never entirely taken away in out of the hearts of the people. That is impossible. No, that was also not gone out of the heart of the people. And while he was there in that sepulcher, oh, I think, looking where Christ has laid there, oh, there was doch something that was drawn him to the Lord more and more, because the Lord, he draw his people unto him. Oh, he cast them not away in no wise. No, that is his own word, and that is his own testimony. And for that reason, we see in this history God's restraining grace, God's strong power, and also that abundant love that the Lord revealed to his people and to his children. And soon, oh, after a while, then there shall come those women to Peter, and they shall say to all, oh, Peter, we have a message for you too. Not only for the other disciples, but for you too. It was especially told us by those angels. Tell it, Peter, oh, Peter, you are placing yourself outside. But no, the Lord has not done it. He's still in his tender care, in his unchangeable love, in his condescending mercy. Oh, Peter, he is still thinking about you. And what that now means for a soul that had denied him, for a soul that had provoked him, for a soul that had to say, oh Lord, when you cast me away forever and forever, I cannot say otherwise than amen unto all that. But that the Lord have mercy with us, and that he not have a message for us, that he still is thinking. Oh, you read from the thief on the cross. His prayer on the cross was not to be delivered from that cross. It was not his prayer for conversion, forgiveness of sin, but only he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And that is now the greatest problem in our life, people. Not to sit on the top of the mountain, but our greatest problem, that is to come to the lowest place. That is our problem. And there we can ever bring ourselves, people. No. I shall stop for this evening, but few words for the application before that you shall leave this church in this evening. I hope that by further reading of the Bible and of this chapter, that you are standing still and quiet by the words, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. What it means, but it consists that Peter was behind John on the way to that sepulcher. You boys and girls, men and women, I hope from the bottom of my heart for each and every one that the Lord give us knowledge of it. But is our life by nature, people, running through more and more in our life, and farther from the Lord and from our salvation? That is our life by nature. And shall it now be well, my dear friends, old and young, great and small, we must be stopped in our life. We must be stopped. And there is no man in the world that can stop us, but the Most High, who is higher than the highest. He had that power, and he had that strength to stop us. To stop us on the way of sin, to stop us to the way of destruction, and to bring us on our knees, to bring us in the back of the temple, with that publican, Lord, have mercy with me, a sinner. And if he stopped for the second time as Peter, then there is added somewhere to it. In the first time, then it is, Lord, be merciful, a sinner. But later on, then it is, Lord, be merciful to me, a poor sinner. And before the gates of death, then it goes still further. And then it is, Lord, be merciful to me, a wretched sinner. That is what the Lord teaches all his pupils in the school of Jesus Christ. That is what he is teaching there. Lower and lower, coming down more and more in our life, people. That is what the Lord teaches us. And that becomes the desire of the heart of God's children too. Oh, we cannot bring ourselves there, but that it please the Lord to bring us there, young and old, great and small. And if the Lord would bring us there, people, oh, we would clap in our hands later on. And he would say, oh Lord, that you have done it. I was an enemy of you. I was such a one. I have no desire at all in your ways. But you have conquered me. You had overcome me. You brought me there. And if the Lord ever had brought us there, people, then he keeps us. He shall never leave us over to ourselves. Oh, that Peter, he had denied Christ, but all the sins of his people, he forgives him in his precious blood. And he looks not less to him, no. He had the most care over that people that is sunken so deep in their guilt and sin. And now later on, that other disciple, that he did outrun Peter, oh, that was also a proof that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord was on his way to meet him and to say also to him, peace be unto you. That was the end of it. And now finally to restore him as an apostle in the presence of all those other ones. But that foundation, we have to know that for our own souls shall it be well for the great and ever-ending eternity. But there is a sweetness in it for ourselves, people. A sweetness that we never can explain. A sweetness that we never have tasted in the world and in the things of the world. No. And finally, children of God, you must in this evening, there's no, cannot be different. If you have that life, that spiritual life in your heart, then I am convinced that you are jealous to that man in this evening. I know. And then you say, oh Lord, bring me. Oh, draw me. Draw me, please. And then I shall run after you. And then I shall do nothing else then. I am evil, born in sin. But make me whiter than the snow. Cleanse me. Cleanse me, oh cleanse me. From all my sins. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony. Remember the congregation with offers bears. Remember our school and teachers. Remember all of us in our work, in our daily work, in all the labors which we have to perform. Remember the parents and the children. Give the parents wisdom and understanding to bring up the children. Give the children grace in their heart. to obey their parents, not to grieve them, and to ask for the ways of the Lord. That our life in this world, that it was a preparation for the great and ever-ending eternity, looking upon each and everyone. In thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, forgive all our sins and strengthen us to all our duties, and that we taste something also in the further part of this evening of thy divine love and mercy and grace in our heart. Bring us safely to our homes and remember each and everyone in this week. For Christ's sake only, amen. We sing now 292. The collection is for our school. We pray this evening for Mr. Verhule, who have to undergo an operation Tuesday, and for Mr. and Mrs. Rody, who will celebrate their 40th birthday at the first week. Number 292. Praise the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies ever sure. And what follows, number 292.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up thy countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.